Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Hello everyone and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 220. Are you ready to join the clan? Today we have Bill Bice, founder of Boomtime, started his first company at age 14, putting on road races with corporate sponsors. One of the core things that Bill has learned in the building and investing in companies is that the go-to-market is always the hardest part of growing a business. Hello, Bill.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Thank you for coming. I know the clan is anxious to hear your story, so let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan a bit about your background, about what you did before your online business?
Well, so I feel like I was born an entrepreneur. I was very fortunate that I got to work with a great family-owned business here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which was a little local sporting goods empire, and it kind of gave me the love of small business. And that's where that first business about road racing came out of. And so I learned how to build technology products and, just started at a very early age. And I had no idea what I was doing. So I just dove in and did it.
What is the most dangerous belief an entrepreneur can have?
Well, I think the most dangerous, I think there's a lot of them. The biggest mistake that I made when I was starting my first software company was that I was 18. I already knew it all. And so I didn't seek advice and help. I didn't have a mentor. So it took me a lot longer to build that business than it should have. And so now I have a much better idea of all the things I don't know. And I turn that around and I always want to find somebody who's already done what I would like to do and learn from them. Because whatever business you're thinking about creating or wherever you are intending on going, you know, there's somebody who's already been there. And so finding them and learning from them is just, it's the best way to speed up the whole process.
But why do you do what you do?
So I learned from that I'm not very good at working for other people, but I really enjoy building things. I think we all like being part of something bigger, and I think the best businesses do that. You create an environment and a culture where you're able to attract people because we all want to be part of building something. And so I've always loved doing that. For me, it's always focused around small business and helping small business, which I'm really passionate about because that's where our innovation comes from. It's what drives our employment. You know, the whole reason large companies buy small ones is because that's where the cool and new stuff is being done.
Let's put man aside. How do you know you are successful?
I used to think that the end justified the means. And it took me a long time to figure out that really the means is all there is. Like, you know, if you really hit the goal of building a successful company and you sell it and you make a lot of money, you know, all you're going to do is turn around and do it again. It's really the process that's what counts. So to me, success is, do you wake up in the morning excited about what you get to do today? And if that's true, then you're in the right place and you're going the right direction. And I tend to find that when I focus too much on the money, I don't actually get the success that I'm looking for. But if instead I'm focused on the thing I'm really trying to accomplish, it's amazing how the money follows that.
Can anyone be an entrepreneur, or are some people more cut out for it than others?
Well, yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, it's a struggle, particularly if you have a good career and you're thinking about making that jump to starting a business. It's always going to be tough to do. I mean, I was kind of lucky in a sense that I started my first software company when I was 18, didn't have a mortgage, didn't have kids, you know, didn't have all these responsibilities. It's so much easier to take the risk then. But the, you know, the bottom line is, if you're not willing to make the sacrifices necessary to go start a company, then it's unlikely that you're really an entrepreneur, right? It's going to take some sacrifice to do that, and it's not going to go smoothly. I've you know, I really thought after building that first software company and selling it, like, you know, so one, it took me a long time to do that. It was 15 years. But then once I did that, I was like convinced that I knew how to do it. And it turns out it's really tough every single time. So you're going to run into big challenges if you choose to start a business. And so if you're not willing to make those initial sacrifices to make that jump, then you probably have the answer as to whether it's the right thing for you to do or not.
Wow. What sort of sacrifices did you have to do? Because at 18 years old, where did you get the funds anyway to fund even your business? Did your parents help, or what happened? How did you collect the funds?
Well, so it was all of $500 that was the investment to create that software company. You know, I wrote the software at night and went out in the day, and at 18, I was walking into the corner office of the managing partner of a law firm and convincing him to buy that software that I was working on the night before. And so, yeah, it took a while to make that work. The advantage of those kinds of businesses, either service businesses, or one of the reasons I love technology, is that it is so much easier to build a product now. So what would have cost $10 million in the, you know, late 90s .com era is now something that you can build for $100,000. And so you need to be in a place where that's realistic. And if you say, well, I don't have the, you know, maybe you're on the business side and you don't have the technology piece. One of the things that I always recommend to an entrepreneur who's looking at starting a business is that it's so much easier to do with a partner. And if you can't convince somebody else to be just as passionate about what you're doing, then you should really question whether it is as great an idea as you think. And it's so much easier to get there if you have a partner to work with, somebody who is facing the same struggles that you are and complements all of the things that you bring to the table. So if you're on the business side, go find the technology side. If you're on the technology side, go find somebody that's on the business side. You're going to be much more successful.
What have you learned from business as a whole?
Well, that's a big question. My reaction to that is that, you know, I'm a huge fan of capitalism, even with the challenges that come with it. You know, it's the best model that we know of, and we can attribute the vast majority of the improvement to the human condition to the forces that capitalism brings to the table. So to me, business is the best way to do good. And that's not to say that there aren't challenges with it, but I'm a huge fan of Simon Sinek's new book, The Infinite Game, which really describes to me the best way to run a business. It's this long-term view of using business as a way to accomplish good. And if that's the approach that you take, not only will it be a lot of fun, you will get the financial reward that comes with it. And to me, it is the best thing about building and running a business.
Why Raw Farm?
Well, there wasn't a lot of strategy behind it. At the time, I was writing software for several different kinds of businesses. And I eventually figured out that I was really going to have to focus. You can't be everything to everyone. One of the best things you can do in building your business is to get as niche as possible. You know, it's so much easier to have a really specific target market to go after. And so I looked at the four different kinds of businesses that I was writing software for. And this is, you know, when I'm 18, 19, 20 years old. And the reason I chose legal was just because there wasn't a lot of good competition at the time in terms of the technological underpinnings of who the other companies were. So I just thought we could write better software in that market. And that was the whole logic behind it. What was really important was just choosing the niche and going after it. That was the key, was just making that decision.
How is marketing different in Irigo versus other industries?
Law firms are really challenging to sell to. And I think this is true for a lot of professions like this. I've often said that doctors, how medical is really the only market that's more challenging than legal. And it's interesting because I don't have a JD, and many of the people who work in legal and legal technology are attorneys. And it's actually been one of my advantages because I had to actually pay attention to what our attorneys wanted. I didn't come in already thinking that I knew how to run a law practice. But it's very much a reputation and credibility driven market. And I think that's true of most markets. It's just it's really heavily emphasized in legal.
Tell us mistakes that you see being made by law firms in their marketing.
Well, law firms make the same core mistake that almost every business makes. I consider it the biggest mistake in marketing, which is talking about yourself. And the truth is nobody cares. The marketing that's really effective is focusing on the challenges that your clients are having, either in their business, in their careers, whatever it is that you're focusing on. And if you talk to them about how your expertise applies to the challenges they have, that's vastly more interesting. And yet the vast majority of marketing that a law firm or most companies put out is all about them, the new partner we hired, the case we won, the client that we got, and just nobody cares. It is so much more effective to show off your expertise, demonstrate the thought leadership that you have, and use that. I mean, I often say the best marketing is giving away whatever you think is the most valuable advice you have. Give that away for free. That is the best marketing that you can do.
In your businesses, do you ever have a mentor or a coach yourself?
Well, I'm a huge fan of that now because of all the mistakes that I made early on. And so I think finding mentors, and it's really not just one. I think you want to have several mentors that cover the different elements of whatever business you're creating. And so I want somebody who's already been there and done that in that particular area. I really want someone who is really strong in the areas that are most challenging for me in whatever I'm tackling. And it's, with LinkedIn these days, it's so easy to build your network, and you got to start with building that relationship. But it's so much easier to find mentors today than it was previously. It's the fastest way to get your business to take off.
What is the most valuable thing your mentors has told you?
Well, in my first company, ProLaw, I don't think we would have successfully sold that if I hadn't finally gone out and found a mentor that in that case, it was the process of how to put the company together in a way that we could present it and sell it. So that was, that was really a life-changing event for me that it would not have gone well if I hadn't finally given in and sought advice for something that I didn't know how to do.
What is one thing that has contributed to your success?
If I had to say that I have a superpower, I would say it's persistence, because I think the most underappreciated element of any business is the timing. So all the other elements that you have to have, you've got to have enough capital to get going, you've got to have the talent, you've got to have a good product or service offering. And yet timing has such an impact on whether you're going to be successful or not. And so you have to have the persistence to stay there, to stay in the game long enough. It's how you get lucky. It's by working so hard that eventually all of the stars line up and your offering matches what the market's looking for. You have figured all of the pieces out, and it is such an underappreciated part of the puzzle in getting the timing to market right.
What is one thing no one knows about you?
That no one knows about me?
Yes.
Well, something that's kind of rare is, you know, I'm really a strong introvert at heart. And yet to do the things that I wanted to do, I had to overcome that. So, you know, coming and talking to you today, that, you know, it requires effort when you're an introvert, and people who meet me certainly don't recognize that, but I've got the classic definition that it takes energy for me to be with people. And I have to go recover from that. But I've met a lot of entrepreneurs who are introverts that are really good at it, really good at building businesses. And it's something you have to choose to tackle if you want to be the face of the business.
So how do you deal with face-to-face? How do you have a mentor you go to? Or do you do a routine where you have to psychic yourself, say, okay, I'm ready, I'm going out there, I'm going to face it, or go and present in front of how many hundred people? How do you deal with it?
Well, that's exactly what it was like early on. You know, I've done it enough now that it's kind of natural. I sort of
Did you join like Toastmasters? What routine did you do?
I just went out and sold, right? It was, you know, small company, you're doing everything, you have to sell. I believe in every startup that the CEO has to be the primary salesperson, because you're the only person who can change any element of the business to match what you learn in the market. And I've made this mistake over and over again. I've seen many entrepreneurs do it, where you bring in somebody as a salesperson, but then you don't really believe what they tell you. And it's a problem, because you don't know, is, well, they're not a good salesperson, or do we actually need to change our price, product, you know, some element of our offering. And so I think you have to go out there and do it yourself. And so I had no choice but to tackle that in order to accomplish what I wanted to do. So you just, you know, you go to meeting after meeting after meeting, and eventually you get reasonably good at it.
Wow. What grounds you?
So I am a huge fan of meditation. It is, you know, I can really tell the difference if I, for, you know, something happened and I didn't have the time to meditate this morning. It has been just amazing to get me to focus on the process and enjoy what, you know, what I'm doing each and every day, as opposed to just focusing on the goals. I mean, it's important you have goals, you got to move in the right direction, but I really believe that enjoying it as you're doing it is the key to long-term success.
I hear meditation, people are there doing for 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Do you need all that time to do the meditation?
You don't. I mean, I think if you just take 2 minutes and pause and get in the moment, that is very powerful. As I have done it more and more, I've found that having, you know, 15 or 20 minute session in the morning is what really works for me. But I know lots of people who will just take a couple of minutes two or three times during the day to sort of ground themselves and reset. And I do that same thing later on in the day. I mean, I think it's great at 2 o'clock to just take a little break and take a couple of minutes to reconnect with being in the moment. And I find it makes the afternoon, you know, so much more productive.
What is the most valuable thing you have ever given away?
I think the most valuable thing you can give away is your knowledge and expertise, and it's also the most beneficial thing that you give away. It's so it really ties to my approach to sales. I think the concept of sales is really misconstrued. What you want to have happen every time you sit down with a prospective client is have them be better off because they met with you. And then the best way to do that is give away the unique perspective and insight you have. It's the best way to sell. It's the most valuable thing you can give away. So, you know, it's what the thing I focus on right now is helping small businesses with their marketing and doing that with scale and efficiency. And I lay out everything we have learned and following the data for how to do that, because I want every small business to grow and be able to be successful against the, you know, very large competitors that you always have when you're in that situation. So I think you give away the best advice you have for free.
Let's talk about your business. Tell us more about it.
So this really came out of my frustration with marketing, because I've been fortunate enough to get to start and invest in a number of companies, and the go-to-market is really what determines whether you get the payoff from, you put all this effort into creating a great product or service, but how good you are at marketing is going to really determine whether that works or not. And so I've built internal teams, I've hired agencies, and I just got really frustrated because this is a discipline that, I mean, unlike any other aspect of our business where we really demand that we have scale and efficiency, marketing is just an area that has long resisted that. And I thought that had to change. And since I'm a programmer at heart, I tackled it from the data. And one of the great things about marketing these days is, or it's also the problem, which is we have way too much data. But if we put that data to work, we can really understand what's working. And we can take the same sort of lean startup approach and just constantly iterate to get better and better. And so that's what we've been doing for the last 6 years. And it's been a lot of fun figuring out what actually really works for marketing.
And what type of your clientele?
So we really focus on the smaller B2B business. And what I mean by that is, so it's large compared to the startup. Our typical client is a $2 to $20 million a year business. I take a lot of the things I've learned from that, and because I love helping entrepreneurs with startups and applying the same techniques there. And so what we do for that, $5 million a year business is the same exact thing that you can do starting your company from ground zero. And one of the reasons we ended up focusing on B2B is because we've been able to build a blueprint for how to do it that really applies to any kind of high value, impactful sale. And, B2C is so much harder today, ironically. I think it was a lot easier 10 years ago. But in B2B, if you have, you build a great website, you build an email list, you use LinkedIn to grow your audience. If you really understand how those three channels are working together, just about any high value sale, we can get the growth we're looking for just using those three channels.
And where do we find this product, and how can we connect with you?
So I love talking about marketing. I'm at CEO@boomtime.com. You can go to our website at boomtime.com. You can look me up on LinkedIn and see the approach that we use. The thing that really got our business growing was treating ourselves as a client and doing for ourselves exactly what we learned to do for our clients. It's the classic cobbler's kid's shoes problem. And so you'll see with our own company exactly what we're talking about and demonstrating how we have found success in B2B.
So, Clan, there will be more from Bill in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many podcasting platforms rather than my website and you are encouraged by Bill's journey, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a bonus portion of the interview. The Online Success Journey is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for the path to success. We are one big clan, and you can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part 2 Bill's journey or over 200 plus other journeys that are available, and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Bill.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part 1 and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, You know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path. So make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the online success journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on ratings and reviews, then write a review. On behalf of patients, and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.